Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning I'm going to read out of Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're just going to start there and just spend a few minutes here. We won't take a whole lot of time this morning, but we'll spend a few minutes here in the Word. Luke chapter 2. Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you all got good plans. Yeah. Amen. Going to be a great time. Amen. Yeah. All right, Luke chapter 2. And I'm not going to read all of this, but I want to read part of this about the Christmas story and then just talk about some things this morning. I'm going to start with verse 8 if you have a Bible with you. If not, just listen to this. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." And they were, the King James says, they were sore afraid, or they were very afraid. You can only imagine, you're out there keeping watch, and all of a sudden an angel just comes upon you. And the glory of the Lord shines and lights the place up. Amen. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host." So a multitude of angels of the heavenly host praising God and saying, how many of the angels praise God? We probably should too. "And saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." Everybody say peace.
Peace.
"And goodwill toward men." I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning about the fact that He came to bring peace.
Amen.
A guy said this. He said, I thought about it, and I thought, yeah, that's probably the truth. He said, if you had to describe the Bible with just one word, this guy was asking this question. He said, if you had to describe the Bible with just one word, what word would you use? He said, I think I'd use the word peace. And I thought about that. I thought, yep, Jesus Christ came and preached peace. That's what the Bible said.
Amen.
And we understand, you know, those of us that have studied this, we understand that the Hebrew word is shalom. Amen? Which means, you know, everything's taken care of. Hallelujah. And so, matter of fact, Isaiah said it like this. Isaiah said the King James says, you will keep him in perfect peace. That's what the King James says. That's Isaiah chapter 26. You will keep him in perfect peace. And, you know, when you study that out, it literally, what it says in the Hebrew is, you will keep him in shalom, shalom. In other words, that could have been translated. The King James translators decided to use the word perfect peace, tried to describe what they felt like the prophet Isaiah was saying. But literally what he said is, you will keep him in peace, peace. And I thought about that, Pastor Jerry. I thought about that. I thought, you know, that's double peace. That's good. How many are like me and like Oreos? Do I have any saved people in here? But you know, there is something better than an Oreo.
Amen.
A double stuffed Oreo. That's exactly right, Sarah. A double stuffed Oreo is better than an Oreo, in my opinion. Because why? You got more of that goodness inside of there. Amen? I mean, you know what I'm saying. I like the wafer. It's okay. But I want what's in the middle. And double. And that's what God has given us through Christ, is double peace. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think, this is my opinion, I think it means we have peace in the Spirit, peace with God, right?
Amen.
I remember that night I got saved. That's just, you know, I don't remember every little detail, I'm sure, but the high points, I remember that night. And I've told you many times how the thing that marked me was the peace that I had. You know, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love,
joy, and peace. And it goes on to list some other things, of course. But I will emphasize those three things this morning because when I got saved, those are the three things I noticed that showed up in my life immediately. Love, joy, and peace. I started loving people.
Amen.
Amen. I started having love. I had joy. But the thing that really stood out to me was the peace part. So when this guy said this, he said, I would use the word peace. Well, I thought about that, and I thought about exactly right, because that's what God has brought to us. He's brought to us peace. He's brought to us shalom. He's fixed everything that was broken through the fall. Amen. And so I'm just one of these ministers, and I know that many of you are like me. I believe Jesus Christ fixed everything.
Amen.
He fixed everything. Now, some of that's not yet manifested, but it's going to. Amen. I thank God for my body. It isn't as glorious as it used to be. I know it's hard for you to believe. You must have been something else when you was young. Well, how many know none of us, our bodies are like what they used to be unless you're still young. As you get older, your body changes. You know what I'm saying? They talk about, I see like in sports, I'm a sports guy, and I'll see they're talking about younger guys are just, maybe they're in their late teens or early 20s, and they say they don't have their man body yet. It's coming, honey. That man body is coming. Now, what do they mean by that? They mean it's going to be a little bigger. They're going to be a little bigger. They ain't going to fill out. Well, your body ages and it gets older, and the Bible says that, you know, that the outward man's perishing. But thank God, God has a plan. And He's going to give us a new body. Amen? He's going to raise this body up, praise God, and glorify it. Amen? But when I thought about that word peace, I thought, well, yeah, that's exactly what I would think the Bible, you know, if you had to use one word to describe the Bible, that would be a good one. Because that's what the Bible even tells us in Acts, that Jesus came preaching peace. He came preaching peace. And He was sent to bring us peace. In years ago, my grandfather, he was born in 18-something. And it doesn't sound right. It's like, how could I still be alive? But he was born in the 1890s. And so, you know, when World War I broke out, he was a young man, and they drafted him. I've got a picture of him in his uniform. They had those, I call them knickers, you know, they did pants that came down to here, and the socks and all, and the boots and the hat and everything in green. So I've got a picture of Grandpa in that. And so he fought in World War I. But an interesting happened during that war. It was in 1914 on Christmas Day. The British armies and the German armies were fighting one another. But during Christmas, the British army heard the Germans singing Christmas songs. Now, I don't understand how all that worked. I'm just telling you what happened. I don't know where some of them knew German, or some of them were singing in English, or they just recognized a tune. You know, no matter what language they sing it in, the tune's the same. Sometimes I'll go over in foreign lands, and during praise and worship, they're singing a song. It's like, I know that song. I know the tune. If they'd just be quiet for a little bit and quit singing it in their language, I'd figure it out. But you know what I'm saying? Because they're singing a different language. It's hard for me to figure out what is that song. And so they heard that. And so they literally, what happened was they started waving at one another. They started getting friendly with one another. And then they finally met in the middle. This is during the World War I. They met in the middle, and they shook hands, and they exchanged gifts. They traded cigarettes and chocolates and souvenirs, and they were friendly with one another for the whole Christmas day. And the story I read about said there's about 100,000 of them that did this. It's called The Christmas Truth of 1914. You can Google it and read about it. It's pretty amazing. And for that one day, they weren't fighting. They were friendly. The superiors did not like it. It was not, you know, sanctioned by them. The troops just did it. And I thought about that. I thought, you know what? If we leave the government out of all this, and you just put Jesus in it, there's peace. Right? These people rallied around Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And really, honestly, if they'd have just left these guys alone, they'd have just went home, been friends. Because they rallied around the Prince of Peace. And so for that whole day, and then finally the superior said, man, this is not good for fighting morale. We can't have these guys liking one another. How about let's just all accept the Prince of Peace and all get along? But you know what? I went through, some of you a little older, we went through the hippie movement, the peace, you know, make love, not war. And then when we get together, we'd fight like cats and dogs and people would get killed. Am I telling the truth about it? Woodstock. There wouldn't be peace there. Because there's only one place peace comes from. That's from Jesus Christ. And I had no peace, man. Before I met Jesus, I didn't have any peace. But after I met him, I got something called peace. I was always, it seemed like, always had something I was concerned about. I would get these, I don't know what you call them, what the doctors call them, but these ulcers in your mouth. Anybody ever had any of those? Did you know those come a lot of times because of worry? And I'd get those regularly. Because what were you worried about? I was worried I was going to get arrested. No, I'm just being honest. I'm not making this up. I was worried sometimes I was going to get caught and get busted. Am I telling the truth, Randy? I mean, I don't want to drag you into this, but we were brothers. We ran around. Susie, she's just always been sweet and innocent, never caused, no. They were the same way I was before we got saved. We were drug users. We were doing illegal things. We were subject to go to jail, to prison. And did. Yeah, I wasn't going to tell on you, but... And did. He spent some time in prison for drugs. So we understand, you know, we understood that we were just any moment could be arrested, could be caught, could be busted, could go to jail. We lived with that. But I'll tell you what, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, all that left me, peace came into my life. Hallelujah. And I haven't had those mouth sores any longer. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because he's the Prince of Peace. Amen. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was on him. Yep. Isaiah said that he's given us a covenant of peace. Now look at this. If you have a Bible, I want to look at one more scripture. Look at this in Luke chapter 21. Because Jesus talked about, he warned us about what the end times would be like, which I'm convinced we're there. You know, the Bible talks about the last days. But there, it's interesting because when you study that, it uses a phrase like in Timothy, it talks about the last days. And when you study it out, it means the last of the last days. It literally means the very end, the farthest out you can get. And so it's kind of like if you're walking on a pier out by the ocean, you know how they have the piers that go out into the ocean. And they go so far, you can only go so far, you get to the end, you're at the farthest point. Any farther and you're in the water. And that's exactly what the Bible's describing, that in the last days we'd get to the very end, right at the point, we're at the very end, any further step, and the Lord's returned. And it talks about that. And it lists, in I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, it lists what people would be like in those times. And when you read that list, which we're not going to this morning, but you read that, one thing you know is we're there today. This is where this is where people are. Unthankful. You ever seen so many unthankful people in all your life? Let me tell you something. Young people need to know this. We live in the United States with all of our issues, with all of our problems. We're living in a lap of luxury. We are. And I'm convinced that some of these, even some of these adults that are putting this stuff in children's mind that we're oppressed here in America and we this is a terrible country and we need to get rid of capitalism and we need to do all of that and we need to not have to work for a living. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. You know, like everybody's done since the beginning of time. It's just the way it works. You got to work. No worky, no eaty. Yep. Well, I'm convinced that some of those people have never, ever been out of New York or wherever it is they live. Because if you were ever to go to some of the foreign countries, and I've had the privilege of going over there and preach the gospel, if you were ever to go to them, you would come back every time and you say, "Thank you, Jesus, I'm living in the United States." Because they don't have what we have. Amen. Oh, it's in a few places, and like some of the countries, it's in the bigger cities, which they may only have one big city in the whole country. Yeah, you can go there and you can do pretty good, you know. But you get away from that, it's all gone. I always remember when I was just a greenhorn, and I think it might have been like the third time I was on the mission field, and I was there with the missionaries that had been there for years, you know. Or some few years anyway. I'm there with them, and we were having these meetings, you know. And they said, after we get done, we're going to go have a little R&R, you know, rest and relaxation. We're going to take about 3 days, you know, off. And I was looking forward to that, you know. We'd had the meetings and all, and I'm ready for some R&R. And I'm thinking, man, we're going to go and we're going to stay in a Holiday Inn. Or finally, we're going to go someplace in this country and stay in a Holiday Inn and eat good and have. As the further we drove, the more stupid that looked, because people were washing their clothes in the stream. They didn't have windows or doors on their houses, what little houses they had. I've been in places where I've seen they lived in like little igloo hut looking things, you know, that they had made and so forth. I've seen them where they're living in, and I'm not making fun. I hope, I'm just trying to explain it to you. I've seen them where they were living in glorified dog houses that they had made, looked like little igloo dog houses they had made out of, you know, sticks and stuff. And that's where they lived at. And that's where they lived in. And I thought, boy, was I stupid. We're not staying in Holiday. There's no Holiday Inn here where we're going. And I think you might have been with me on one of the trips, and we stayed in a place, and we were at, I would have slept in the car, but I didn't want to offend the missionaries because it was rough. It was rough accommodations. But then you come back here, and I mean, we got everything. We ought to be thankful. But that's one thing the Bible says, that people be unthankful, unholy, you know, without the King James says they'll be without natural affection, which means without family love. Boy, are we seeing that today. I mean, we just saw a young man kill his parents. These are signs of the end that we're living in. But the good thing is Jesus has a promise for us. Amen. Look at this in Luke. And he says some things here. He says in Luke 21:25, he said, "There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress or anguish of nations with perplexity." Or that word perplexity just means to be at a loss. You don't know what to do. "The sea and the waves roaring." Well, we've seen that, the sea and the waves roaring, right? I mean, you know, back in, I think it was 2005, 200 and some thousand people were killed by that tsunami. "Men's hearts failing them from fear for looking after those things which are coming on the earth," or you could say the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, "for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." In other words, Jesus just told us that in these last days, one of the commodities that's going to be very rare is peace. Amen. How many remember the toilet paper shortage? I mean, I was just blown away by that. I mean, how do we have a shortage of toilet paper? They quit making toilet paper? What is? And I didn't even know about it until, I'm going to tell you how we probably had a shortage of toilet paper because of people like me. I heard on the radio that there was a shortage of toilet paper. There was a shortage? There's a toilet? That was a good one. Yeah, it still got me flustered, yeah. There was a shortage of toilet paper. So I didn't know about it. So I go home and tell Phyllis, I said, you know, there's a shortage of toilet paper. So you know what we went and did? What'd you all do? Come on, what'd you do? You went out and bought toilet paper. I bummed it off my in-laws. Why? So there's where the shortage came from. Because somebody told us there was a shortage. We believed it and we created a shortage. But how many know there is, in these last days, the Bible prophesies, there'll be a shortage of peace. It'll be a rare commodity. But there's some good news. Jesus said this. How many know that's true out there in the world? There's a shortage of peace. People are living in fear. He says, verse 27, when they shall see, then shall they see, when these things, after these things happen, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Well, praise the Lord for that. Yes. He's the fix to this whole thing. Yes. And when these things that he talked about in verse 25 and 26, when these things begin, not when they're full blown, but when they begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. So see, you and I aren't supposed to be looking after the things that are coming on the earth. We're supposed to be looking up. Hallelujah. We're to be looking up. Our redemption is about to happen. See, what's Jesus saying? There may be a shortage of peace in the earth, but there's not going to be a shortage of peace with God's people. Amen. If we just, you know, the Bible says, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Didn't he say that? My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. How many of the world gives a, the world tries to give peace, and it's just false peace. You know, they'll and some of the things that they say maybe you should do, probably should do in wisdom. But let me tell you something, you know, like they tell you about, like I've said before, like life insurance. I've seen that, you know, at peace through life insurance. Peace through life insurance. Well, I have life insurance. But it's not what gives me peace. I'm glad that if I should go before my wife goes, that she can do whatever she wants to. I'm glad about that. That doesn't give me any peace. I'm happy about that. And I saw, like I said, remember years ago the Michelin commercial where they had a little baby in the tires? That years ago, and peace through having Michelin tires on your car. Well, I got Cooper tires on my truck, and I still. Whether I had Cooper, Michelin, or Goodyear, it's not going to make any difference about my peace. Then the one I saw in our local paper that really I thought was funny, it said, peace through a prepaid burial plan. And I thought, it doesn't give me much peace to know there's a hole out there waiting on me. What gives me peace is to know that if I go in the hole, I'm coming out. That gives me peace. See, only the Prince of Peace can give you peace. And only what he's done through his redemption, and that's why, look, your redemption, don't look at what's going on the earth. Look at your redemption. Look what the Bible has promised you. Your redemption. I'm not just talking about, you know, what's to come. Thank God for that. But I'm talking about what he's done for us right now. While we live on this earth, that's something I didn't know about before I was saved. That's something after I got saved, I began to read the Bible and began to listen to other people preach. And I thought, are you telling me that God has done things for us now? He's given us blessings now to walk in? I thought it was just all about going to heaven, which that's the most important part. But I thought it was just all about going to heaven. I didn't realize that he provided things for me right now. I didn't realize that he would heal me. I didn't realize that he would help supply my needs. I didn't realize he'd give me direction in life. I didn't realize he'd give me peace and joy and all the other things that the Bible says. No, you know, a lot of the church doesn't realize that because they don't read their Bible. But this book here is called, in Old English, it's called the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament is just the word for covenant. The old covenant, the new covenant. Matter of fact, I heard a guy got saved and he looked at it, he didn't know where to read that. It's what he said. He said, I didn't know where to read that. And I looked back in there and it said old covenant. And I looked over here and it said new covenant. He said, well, the new must be new. So I'll start with the new. Yeah. Amen. And it's, how many know the news? It's a great, glorious covenant. Yeah. Amen. Now, Jesus said this. He said in John 16:33, he said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it. And he talked about, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. I'm just going to read it to you. And listen, he said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In him you can have peace. In the world, tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome it. So that just tells me I need to make life about him and not about what's going on in the world if I want to have peace. Not just, you know, I had to learn these things. That the world, and especially in news media, are not happy if they don't have a crisis. And if they don't have one, they'll create one. And too many church people just go through all those crises. You know, I've just watched, you know, I've saw things over the years, just how they just blow things way up. And we have to understand, we don't need to focus on that. We need to focus on our redemption. I mean, I've seen that. You know, a guy, he's a famous guy. He's passed on now, but he was a commentator and all. And a lot of people loved him. A lot of people hated him, you know. But he was scheduled to speak in this certain city. And he said that all the news media could talk about was the protest. They were protesting him coming to that city to speak. And so he said, I was there. This is what he said. I was there. We drove through the protesters. He said, there were three. 3 out of 7 billion people on the planet? And that's a news story? I've watched that even locally, where they talk about there's a protest going on downtown. You get a camera shot and there's 4 people. Like, you can get 4 people mad about anything. That ain't hard to do. Amen. We can get 4 people to go down and protest some restaurant because they're serving grits and they don't like grits. Our focus should be on our redemption. That's what Jesus said. If you want peace, focus on the right thing. And if you don't know Jesus, get in the kingdom of God, where he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Amen. Let me give you 3 things and we're going to receive communion this morning. If you're a believer and you want to walk in the peace of God, one thing you need to do is learn to pray. Yeah. See, Paul said that we can worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our requests made known to God. See? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So instead of worry, instead of fret, believers, pray. Yes. And believe. Yes. Right? That God's going to do something when you pray. Yes. Second thing you need to do is, if you're a believer, Psalm 119, 165 says, they that love his word shall have peace. Yes. Amen. So we got to fall in love with his word, which is something that I did when I got born again. I fell in love with the word of God. So the word, how many of the word gives you peace? Yes. How many know that? Because why? How many know it's the final answer? Remember we used to sing a song, and I've talked about this before. Whose report will you believe? Right. I mean, that's out of Isaiah chapter 53. Whose report will you believe? So you got to, how many know you got to know his report to believe his report? If you don't know his report, you can't believe his report. So when, you know, sometimes bad news comes to all of us, but we got a report. People used to say to me, and I understand where it comes from, and I'm not criticizing this, I'm just making a point. People say, well, Pastor, I'm going to the doctor, pray I'll get a good report. Well, I understand what you're talking about. You want a good report in the natural, but did you know you already got a good report? By his stripes you were healed. Amen. So we need to keep the word before us and what the word says about things instead of what the world says about things. Amen. You know, we're in a time, there's so many weird stuff going on, so many weird things. Thank God for the Prince of Peace. Amen. There's a lot of ways we could go there. But let me give you the last thing. Romans 15, 13 says there's joy and peace in believing. So you need to, as a believer, you need to use your faith that things are going to work out, that God's going to help you, that he's going to get you through that. And he's going to help work that out. Amen? Amen? And you know he'll come and help you if you just believe for that. Right. So I don't know about you. One of the things I'm thankful for this Christmas season is peace. Amen. That I have peace. And the Bible says it passes all understanding. So when it doesn't make sense, I have peace. How many know you can have peace when you know something? Knowledge gives you peace. How many know that? You know, remember when you first, you have to go back a few years, but remember when you first started driving? There was kind of a lack of peace, unless you were just one of these crazy people. You know, some people just, don't care, but, I remember taking driver's ed. When I was young, we took driver's education, driver's ed in school. That was one of our classes. And so some brave teacher had to get in the car with you. You know, they'd be like four or five of us. You know, in those days, we had big vehicles. They didn't have these little things, Buick Electras and, like that, Oldsmobile 98s or whatever they call them, 89s or whatever. They were like boats, like ships. And so we'd all get in that car, and he'd take us out. I remember he'd take us out in the parking lot of the school there. They had an area that I think they kind of kept cleared off where kids didn't park at. And we'd drive around in that, for a while, and then he thought, he could trust us. Then he took us out on the road, And I remember one day I'm driving, along, and I'm coming to this bridge. And used to where I was at, before they replaced the bridge, it was real narrow, And so I'm coming, and here comes a semi. He's coming on the bridge. And my instructor lost his peace. I'm like, it's cool here, man. I got it, But, they had two steering wheels. Remember? No, they just had one, but they had a brake. I think they had a brake over there. They just had our steering wheel, but they had a brake over there where we could hit the brake. But I'm just driving along, and all of a sudden a hand grabs my steering wheel. And he's just making sure he didn't want to go home and be with the Lord that day. And, he lost his peace. But, and when you first start, you're kind of be nervous about it and so forth. But let me know, after you've been driving for as many years as I've been driving, you don't even think about it any longer. Because you have knowledge. You've learned some things. And so forth. Well, this is what happens when you get filled with this book. It's like Peter said, we have grace and peace is multiplied to us through the knowledge of God. So the more we know, the more peace we have in life because we know we're covered. I said, we're covered. Amen. I used to get nervous about things I don't get nervous about any longer because I know what the Bible says. So it doesn't make me nervous. Amen. If I went to pray for somebody in the hospital and maybe they were dying of a deadly disease, I'd in the beginning days, I'd walk in there all nervous. But once I learned what the Word says, what God's will was, what God's plan is, I can go in there and just relax and trust Him to do His part and not be nervous about it. I'm not going to heal anybody anyway, neither are you. Amen. So once you learn, you just get more peace about you. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, we have the Prince of Peace and His peace He's left with us. When He came into that, when He came, the scripture we began with, when He came into this earth, that's how many of those angels brought a message from God? Didn't they? Let's just think, what are we going to say when we get there? What do you think we ought to say? How many of they didn't do that? They brought a message from God, and the message was peace. On earth. Peace on earth. There's peace on earth. You may not be walking in it, but it's here because Jesus brought it. And you can walk in it. First thing you need to do is, if you're not born again, you got to receive the Prince of Peace. There's no way you can have peace without Him. But with Him, we can have peace. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.